This life-changing message is brought to you from Christ Life Ministries, home of the Uncommon Champions, located at 1694 Dean Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. Please join me in welcoming the servant of God for this life-changing message. God bless you.
This morning I'll be speaking to us on the subject matter, contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. Let us pray. Lord, we ask this morning that the word of God will come alive. There will be a lifting in the house. Lord, when men are cast down, we declare in this house that there is a lifting up. When we don't feel like praising you, we declare that there is a lifting up. When men around don't even feel like we feel, we see the faithfulness of God. Lord, be exalted this morning above all the heavens. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jude. Jude has only one chapter. And in most cases, they will just say Jude 20. So, nothing like chapter 1, verse 20. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude is a good book. And we have a brother Jude in the church. The only Jude in our church is a good man. Tell your neighbor, brother Jude is a good man. Only one chapter. Are very powerful. Glory to God. We'll be looking at contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. The word contention actually means to strive for or to strive. It means to forcefully contest something. It also means to maintain a position against all odds. It means to strive for something. Now, this morning I will be showing us from the scriptures why our faith is worth contending for. I've come to realize that the most timid set of people on the surface of the earth today are Christians. We are easily intimidated. We are easily intimidated. There are three things about the book of Jude that if you have an understanding of, you can raise your shoulder high without any apology. Talk about the faithfulness of God. Talk about the love of God. Talk about His care. And talk about all that God has done for you. The very first chapter of the verse of the book of Jude tells us three things about who we are as Christians. The first thing is that we are called. Tell your neighbor, we are called. Tell your neighbor, we are called. In other words, you did not call yourself. You didn't call yourself, you are called. It doesn't matter what people feel about you. You are somebody going somewhere to happen. You are just too much for the world to handle. Why? Because you are called. The second thing about us as Christians is the fact that we are loved. God loves us. He called us. He loves us. And the third thing is that we are preserved. Preserved. Tell your neighbor, preserved. Tell your neighbor, preserved. Do you know something about this God? With God, you don't need any human security. You are bam. Tell your neighbor, I'm bam. The young folks are laughing in church. You think you are the only youths in church? So we are called, we are loved, and we are preserved. In other words, we are kept by the power of God. And these three things guarantee our value or the price that is on us. It guarantees our worth. Hear me? If you are called, it is not about who you are, it's about the one who called you. That is why anywhere I go, I can never be intimidated. Why? Because I know the one who called me. It may appear as if I'm not getting results today, but I'm going somewhere. I may be black, but I'm proud. You may not like my face, but I like what I see. The only thing I need to do is to look inside the mirror. And it will be impossible for me to conclude that there is a more handsome man on the surface of the earth. I don't conclude. The only conclusion I have, your opinion doesn't matter. Let me stand before the mirror. I see what you don't see. So there are three things about us. We are worth more than what people think we are. Sometimes people will look at you and say, Who do you think, do you really think you are? I tell them, I'm not just an accident, I'm a man. A man called of God with purpose. A man sent from God. Called, loved, and preserved. These three things Jude expressly told us about us as Christians. And in the third verse, he gave us a challenge. And what is this challenge all about? He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me also to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly. I love such adjectives in the scriptures. When God qualifies something, he qualifies an action. I love it. When he qualifies an action, I love it. He said, earnestly. Some other people will do it flippantly, but he told us, do it earnestly. In other words, do it diligently. Diligently, because I wrote you with diligence, you are expected to diligently contend for the faith, which was once delivered to you. Because one thing I realize is that when you don't stand your ground concerning the things you have, very soon you will lose it. Do you know this, people of God? If you don't contend for the faith now, we are just one generation away from a godly generation. If we don't know how to contend for the faith. Are we to contend for the faith? Yes. Are we to stand for the faith? Yes. Are we to kill people for the faith? No. Because the gospel we preach is not a gospel unto death. The Bible says that it is not the ministration of death. It is the gospel of life. Muslims may say that when you kill, there are 70 virgins waiting for you in heaven. Madness. 70. What will you do with virgins in heaven? Huh? What? The ideology is so sensual. Sensual. Everything is limited to the physical. Carnality expressed wholesale. You kill, and they lure people to kill so that they can satisfy the lust of the flesh. We are talking about heaven. You are talking about 70 virgins there. Talking about heaven. Something as real as heaven. You are talking about 70 virgins. Because when you were here, their God said it should be four. So, 70 divided by 4 is about how much? About 70. Ah, Lord. That is not the type of contention we are talking about. The type of contention we are talking about is not the infightings that are going on in the midst of the church. The type of contention we are talking about is standing for what we believe in the face of every evil. Standing for what we talk about.
I may sound today as an old religion preacher, but I like it that way. I may not be popular. I may not appeal to the senses of the 21st century Christian, but I am still doing the will of God anyway. Contend for the faith that was once delivered into our hands. Are we really contending for it? Before I tell you what it means to contend for the faith this morning, I will tell you what contending for the faith is not. Contending for the faith is not complacent. It's not complacent. We cannot stay in our comfort zone and still be contending for the faith. It is not possible. You don't contend for the faith in your comfort zone. We don't say that, we cannot say that we are contending for the faith. And where we are today is not where, is still at the same point we were a year ago. You are not contending for the faith. If you are contending for the faith, you are making a definite move towards what God has called you to be. Because until we conform to the image of the Son of God, we are not there yet. Contending for the faith. I want to thank God because the Bible used a lot of military terms in its expressions. A lot of military terms. When we want to contend for the faith, it may require confronting the culture. Contending for the faith may require contending with culture or confronting the culture. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. You either serve one and be loyal to one and leave the other one aside. But many a times we feel that contending for the faith is to, and hear me, people of God, we cannot contend for the faith and still be politically correct. Contending for the faith. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 8, He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hear me, people of God, we are too relaxed as Christians. We allow life to happen to us instead of going for it. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates are defensive objects. When last did you see a gate moving? Except on TV. The purpose of gates is to keep things in or keep them out. Are you following what I'm talking about? Gates are there to keep things in or out. Gates are not offensive. Gates don't attack. They can't attack anything. Gates cannot attack us. But when we wait for the world to come to us, to come and follow our Jesus, it will be one of the greatest foolish display of foolishness in our time. We cannot sit for the world to come. We cannot sit for the lost to come. They will not come and ask us about our faith. They will not come and ask us how to become Christians. For so long we have been sitting idle. It is time to contend for the faith that was given to us. May I tell you the secret? The first word in the Great Commission is go. Not sit. Contend for the faith. Too many Christians are at ease in Zion. But the things are changing. God is, listen to me, a passive Christian is not an asset to the kingdom of God. Passive Christians. How many assets to the kingdom of God do I have in the house? Lift up your hand if I am an asset to the kingdom. If you are passive, you are not. You are only deceiving yourself. You are only an asset when, if you are not there, you will be missed. Many people are allowing things. They are just waiting for things to happen.
miracle catchers are more in the church in the 21st century than we have ever seen. Nobody wants to do anything. Everybody wants to get something. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 13, verse 23, taught us that we should occupy until he comes. Interpreting the word occupy to mean to take a space is a great disservice to the Great Commission. Occupy space. Matter is anything that has weight and occupies space. Hear me, people of God. You don't matter until you do something in the kingdom of God. Well, I am here. We know where you sit every Sunday. But we don't know where you go to call upon the sinners. It is time for us to do what? Contend for the faith. Contend for it. I said contending for the faith is not complacent. Contending for the faith could also mean confronting the things that are said. I mean, Lord has said Christianity spread rapidly during the first century because all Christians saw themselves as responsible for disseminating the gospel. That is very true. That is why Christianity just spread like that. But today, people don't see themselves as responsible for the disseminating the gospel. But if you are not responsible, the only word we use to define it and qualify you is to be irresponsible. A Christian that is not ready to contend for the faith is not a responsible Christian. Your responsibility is determined by how well you can stand to defend the faith. Hear me? The world will not come to church, but we are the people to go to them. Are you following what I'm talking about? John R. Scott said something. He said the church is under orders. Evangelistic inactivity is disobedience. I like that. We are under orders because evangelistic inability is disobedience. He said, go. Anything that will keep you sitting is a display of disobedience to God. Go to the world. Proclaim the gospel. I read an illustration early this morning from 770 illustrations, preaching illustrations. And I read of a story of a man, the story of a man. He's an Italian. His name is Luigi Tarisio, who was found dead one morning. And when they got to his home, they found more than 250 violins in his house. That was his own obsession. That was his own collection of, I'm talking of exotic violins. Many of these violins, he got them new. He didn't just buy them, but he stuck them for years. More than 250 violins. He just had a craze for violins. But hear me, when this man died, they found 250 violins in his house. It is true that he treasured them. And many Christians are like that. But hear me, when this man died, and he saw these violins, one of them, a particular kind of violin that could have made music to the world for years. The first time they used it was 147 years after that they made the violin. Many Christians are like that. Our faith is worth fighting for. Our faith is worth standing for. Our faith is worth contending for. Our faith is worth going for. Jesus Christ said, go. And what are we saying today? Number two thing that contending for the faith is not. Contending for the faith is not an unconscious contentment. It is a curious comprehension. In other words, we need to know where we are to be able to contend for the faith. We need to know what we believe to be able to contend for the faith. In the fourth verse, he said, and I quote, "For certain men crept in secretly, those having been of old previously written to condemnation." They crept in secretly. The Bible qualifies them as ungodly ones, perverting the grace of the Lord with unbridled lust and denying the Holy Master God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the same one say that because we are under the grace, then we could commit sin. Because of the philosophy of where grace abounds, sin abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. That's not what he's talking about. And we need to understand what we stand for, people of God, so that we can confront people when they bring things that are not in the original thing that Lord Jesus Christ committed into our hands. We need to know what we are doing to be able to contend for the faith. The first is evangelism. The second is knowing the word. I remember when I first met my wife, every letter she wrote to me mattered. Some of these letters, I would read them in the day. Some of them, I would read them in the night. I used to be a poet. And she kept my poems. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? The reason is that there was nothing, there was something about the letters. Those letters were written upon the bedrock of love. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Conveyed upon the train of love and enveloped in love. Are you following what I'm talking about? Hey! Stand by love. Envelope addressed by love. Carried under the wings of love. Sons of the bishop. I hope you are not setting me up for an apocrypha this morning. That is the reason why when Jesus was talking to the church in Ephesus, he said, return to your first love. If he will write to us this morning, he will tell us, Uncommon Champions, if I am really your king and I'm in your midst, return to your first love. Do you know what happened on Sunday morning? Monday morning. We pick up your Bibles here. And some of you don't have more than one. We pick them up here. Yeah. We pick up your Bibles here. And the question that comes to mind is, what do these people read when they get home after the service on Sunday? Some people say, well, I left it in the Bible so that next Sunday I will come and pick it. Tell your neighbor, pick it when you are going home. That is your love letter. That's your love letter. That is your love letter. Do you know this? Many of us don't know the Bible. And we rejoice in ignorance. You want to know about what this old time religion, as some of you will call it, says? Go into the word. You want to know what God is saying? Go into the word. The psalmist says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light onto my path. He didn't say light to my feet. He said lamp. But he said light to my path. In other words, before you get there, the path is lightened. But the light you need, which is the lamp, for your immediate surrounding, for where you are now, the word is still the same thing. In other words, whether you are here now or you are going somewhere, the word of God is still relevant. Relevant. Do you know something about this word? They have done everything to this word. And every time they try to do something to this Bible, it has remained the same. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? We may have different versions, but we don't have different improvements. Versions. Versions means to break it down, to bring it to your level. That's why we have different versions. The brother read one this morning. I thought like tossing my King James' version. Tossing is somewhere else. That is a version. Because the things that are written therein, they are still current. Many, many, many years after Jesus had spoken. The reason is that he didn't speak as a politician. Politicians will tell you, you know how long they have been telling us that they will tar the road to our village. Don't look at me like that. Tell your neighbor. Do you know something? There are two reasons for us to be skillful and knowledgeable in our faith. First, so that we can defend against corruption within. Because there are a lot of apathy within. Listen to me. Why will God give you the Bible in your own language? So that you don't need a prophet to come. Some of you, every prophet that is in town, you must go there. They lay hands on you. Come and do sacrifice. Some of you are still doing those sacrifices. Lay hands on you. Lay legs on you. Everybody must prophesy into your life, and all that they are prophesying into your life in the name of God, of the Lord, quote and unquote, not any of them relates with the other one. Foolishness. When you can read your Bible yourself. Read your Bible yourself. We have a lot of opportunities in this church for people to learn the Bible. What do you say? It's because of my job. My job. I look at some of you funny. A lot of opportunity. Bible school is there. If Bible school is for money, what of the ones that are for free? Yes. The ones that are for free. They are not there. Sunday school is for free. We'll be begging you to come to Sunday school. The reason is that we are working. And at the end of the year, you will get your report card next week. You get what I'm talking about? The work that kept you from church and the money of the work doesn't even show in church. Who are you deceiving? Deceiving yourself. Tell your neighbor, stop deceiving yourself. Sunday school is free in this church. And we have one of the richest Sunday schools anywhere. One of the richest. Because of you, we moved Green Pastures. We moved it from Monday, we moved it to Saturday. Because of you. I'm busy. You are busy. You call yourself a Christian, Bible you don't know. Come on. It's not common. But Bible, you don't know. But every movie, even those ones that insult your intelligence, that is everywhere, that people did, and it doesn't even make sense. Every one of them, you can sit down here and begin to reel them out. Are you following what I'm talking about? Some of them don't have the beginning, they don't have a beginning, they don't have an ending. No conclusion, no introduction. No interval.
It doesn't add anything to you. But those are the things that you are so particular about. And you call yourself a Christian. And people will say, well, like I read another story. I shared this with Pastor Victor. Listen to me. It's about John Wesley. John Wesley, this was a story written about John Wesley. It was published in Illustrations Unlimited. John Wesley once received a note that said, so like many people will think they know something, and they will be writing notes. I know people correct a lot of preachings here. It's good. As long as you search the scriptures to find out if they are true. They wrote a note to John Wesley. And when people want to lie, they want to bring the Lord into it. The Lord told me to tell you that it doesn't need your book learning. It doesn't need your Greek. It doesn't need your Hebrew. After a good preaching, it's like somebody coming to puncture your balloon. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And God told me to tell you it doesn't need your good, your book learning. It doesn't need your Hebrew. It doesn't need your Greek. Wesley answered, "Thank you, sir. Your letter was superfluous. However, as I already knew, the Lord has no need for my book learning, as you put it. However, although the Lord has not directed me to say so," that sounds like a bishop, "but on my own responsibility, I would like to say that the Lord does not need your ignorance either." The Lord didn't say it, but he said, I take responsibility for it to tell you that the way God does, if God said that it doesn't need my book learning, I have to be ignorant to be religious, to be holy, then God does not need your what either, your ignorance. Listen to me, people of God. People who follow the Eastern religions, they are very, very sharp. They know their books. But Christians don't know their books. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. If I ask you, if you don't have your Bible with you in church today, you will be surprised how many people will lift up their hands. How many people will still be lying and say, well, I brought it. And they don't have it. A Muslim will protect his Quran. A Kanka people, they read a lot of books so that they can stand against you. Do you know this? The reason why a lot of people don't evangelize is because that they are afraid to evangelize is because they don't know what to say. When they get out there and the man says, "This Jesus Christ, who is he?" I say, me what? Before you finish the fourth man, let somebody slap your mouth. Me. Tell somebody at the end of this service today, I will read my Bible. Tell somebody that. Contending for the faith. Proverbs 23:23 tells us that buy the truth and sell it not. Don't even lend it out. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Buy the truth. Sell it not. The best gift I can give any man is a Bible. When I give you the Bible, that is the best gift I can give you. The best. That's the truth. Didn't I give you one? So many. The day I married her, I gave her a Bible, white, to symbolize holiness. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? That is the greatest gift anybody can give you. I will constantly give her Bibles because I know she reads them. But many people, you can't use your money to buy. Do you know why they don't keep their Bibles? They didn't pay for it. Because, hear me, the reason why things that people get for free, they don't appreciate them.
I told the media, don't give anybody free tapes again because they don't listen to them. They are waiting for Gideons to give you Bible. Gideon Bibles are for people who forgot their Bibles at home and they enter a hotel, or people who are not Christians yet and want to give them Bible. The moment you become a Christian, tell your neighbor, buy your own. Buy your own. Buy your own. Buy the truth. And don't sell it. We need to know so that we'll be able to stand and defend our faith. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a way of life. Billy Graham said something. He said, be to the word a sign. That while we as Christians do not have all the answers, we do know and care about all the questions. Spurgeon said this. He said, I believe a very large majority of churchgoers are merely unthinking, slumbering worshippers of an unknown God. Unthinking and slumbering. Slumbering means to be what? To be sleeping. Worshippers of an unknown God. Number three, contending for the faith is not being coldly cantankerous. The word cantankerous means to be irritable. It means to be edgy. It means to be argumentative or to be unnecessarily difficult. It means to be unreasonable. Contending for the faith is not any of such. It is having a passionate concern. Having a passionate or passionate concern. That is what contending for the faith is. Jude chapter 1 or verses 22 and 23 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by flesh. This is Jude speaking. He said, some of them have compassion on them. There are so many things that are happening in our world. A lot of people are going to untimely grave and they are going to hell. If we don't have compassion for them, they are still running to hell and they will continue to go to hell. Won't you be surprised if I tell you how many people have died since I started preaching? Our faith must be propelled by love. Our faith must be carried on the wings of compassion. Our evangelism must be carried with result in mind. Our evangelism should be with the mercy of God. It should be an expression of the love of God. Just for some of them, have compassion. Make a difference. And other, save them with fear. If it means pulling them out of the fire and eating garments that are spotted by what? By the flesh. Contending for the faith, it is having a passionate concern. I may sound today as an old-fashioned man, but it doesn't really matter. What is this faith that had been committed into our hands? And what is this faith that we have been asked to contend for? That is what contending for, and it is what many of you will call the whole time religion. But let me tell you something about the whole time religion real quick this morning. The whole time religion has stood the test of the time. The whole time religion, what people call whole time religion, has stood the test of time. It has been tried in the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, it was tried in the fiery furnace.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came through the fire, and they came trusting God. This same faith I'm talking about, that all many of us will call the old time religion, has gone into the lion's den, and it has returned because it has been tried by fire, and it is still standing. In the days of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, for 30 days, no one was allowed to pray. If any man tried to pray, he was doing it at the risk of being thrown into the den of lions. But Daniel, a man of faith, this faith I am talking about, that is worth contending for, that is worth dying for. Daniel went, he didn't care what people were saying. He opened his windows and he began to pray. He began to speak to the Lord of heaven. He expressed his faith. He contended for his faith. They threw him in the lion's den, and Daniel came back with the faith. This faith we are talking about has been tried by giants. David and Goliath. David said, I come to you. He said, you have come to me with your hammers of war. But hear me, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This is the faith I am talking about. This day I will smite thee. This day I will take off your head. This day I will feed your carcasses to the fowl of the air. This day, I will kill you, and there is nothing you can do. Why? Because for a man that takes the battle of the Lord as his battle becomes the battle of God. This faith I'm talking about has been tried by the devil many times. In the life of Job, the devil had the audacity, the gut, to try the faith of Job. My Bible tells me that God blessed Job twice what he had, because each time the faith we are talking about is sent to the prison. God follows the faith into the prison, and he doesn't allow anyone that contends for the faith to be left in the prison while God is coming out and the faith is coming out. That's been tried in the prison. Acts of Apostles chapter 16, Paul and Silas. The Bible says, in the middle of the night, verse 25, he said, Paul and Silas, they were so sure of their faith. They prayed unto God and they sang praises unto God. And the Bible says that as they were singing praises, they didn't care what the other prisoners thought about them. Some of them will say, these ones have grown nuts. Some of them will say, these ones don't know what they are talking about. Can they feel the pain? Don't they know that their God has forsaken them? But Paul and Silas, they began to pray. And they began to sing praises. And God stepped down from heaven. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. I imagine God, because the Bible says he sits in heaven and makes the heart his footstool. And as they were singing, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. As they were singing, we clap our hands in the sanctuary. As they were singing, lift him up higher. Their hands were bound. Their feet were in stocks. But God's feet are not bound. God stood up in heaven and he began to dance. And he remember, this is the God that sits in heaven and makes the heart his footstool. Why will there not be earthquake when the one that places his feet on the earth? God began to shake and the heart began to shake. Are you getting what I'm talking about? God began to dance and the heart began to shake. He said, I can hear the voice of some people praising me somewhere. They may not be accepted in society. They may not be politically correct. They may even be seen as mad people. But some people are praising me somewhere. I can hear their voice. Paul and Silas are praising me somewhere. Where they are is dark, but I need to go down and see what is happening. As God began to move, the heart began to shake. The Bible says that night there was earthquake. And their chains got broken. The chains, thank you, got broken.
And they will still sit down there. I read that scripture the other day. He said they were still sitting down there. The chains are broken. They were still sitting down there. Because they knew that the other day that Peter was sent into prison, the angel of the Lord came and took him out. Now the chains are broken, but they were waiting for honorable ride into the city. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? They sat down there, they were waiting. Because God will not leave he wouldn't leave my soul in hell. Neither will he suffer his only one to see corruption. Hear me, people of God. The man who was in charge of the prison came out. He wanted to kill himself. He said, "Sir, small thing, don't kill yourself. We are here." Sir, is that the reason why you want to kill yourself? We who are here, we have been singing all night long. You don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to kill yourself. We are here. We have passed through the waters, but we are here. They have put us in the fire, but we are still standing. They have put us in the prison. We are still standing. It is cold in here, but we are still standing. It is dark in here. We are still standing. Probably they remember the word of the psalmist that said, "If I've laid my bed in hell, say, God, you are still there. Say, you are there." Tell your neighbor, this our faith is worth dying for. The faith was tried at Calvary. This faith we are talking about was tried in Calvary. Jesus died a terrible death for you and for you and me. Jesus cried, "It is finished." He bowed his head and died. He was buried, but praise God, on the third day, he arose from the grave. He defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated hell, the grave, and most of all, he defeated the devil. And today, he said to John, and we still read it today, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "I am he that liveth." He said, "and was dead. And look at it. Behold, I live forevermore." Three stages. I live, I died, and I live. Because he knew that some of you will not say amen. He put his own amen there. See it in the scriptures. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Put it, you see, open your Bible. That's why you brought it to church. What did he say there? Let's go. He said, "One, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. Because he knew some of you would not say amen. He brought his amen from home. Sometimes when I come to church, and I know some of you, if I say praise God, we will not say hallelujah. I carry my hallelujah from home. Are you getting what I'm talking about? If I pray you don't say amen, I carry my amen from home. You're not saying amen will not intimidate me. It doesn't mean that I'm saying rubbish. Are you getting what I'm talking about? They are not even answering. You know, we use so many things for so many things. For example, praise the Lord, sometimes it's femme. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like when we were growing up, in children's class, they say femme. Everybody will say femme. And femme only means close. Right? In French, it is close. And they say, "Ferme la bouche." Close your mouth. So in those days when they tell us "ferme," everybody will say "ferme." But today, if we want everybody to be quiet, Say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, so if you don't bring yours to church, I have mine. People of God, it is our time to contend for the faith that had been delivered to us. This same faith was taken to the fiery furnace. It came back shining. It was taken to the lion's den. It came back on earth. Taken before the giants. Intimidated and messed up by giants. The devil tried it and he lost the battle. Hear me, people of God. He was taken to the prison. And he kept on sinking even there. When this faith got to Calvary. Oh, Lord. Hey. Jesus took the faith we are talking about to Calvary. It was possible for him not to even go to Calvary. But he said, I will take this faith to Calvary. The Bible says something about him. He laid down his life. He picked it up. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He decided to go to Calvary. Sometime ago, the devil said, the other day the devil told him, he said, you don't need to go to Calvary. You just bow down for Jesus Christ. He said, no, forget about this. I am taking the faith, contending the faith, for the faith on Calvary. He contended for the faith on Calvary. He came out as the ruler of the whole universe. Contended for the faith on Calvary. Came out as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Contended for the faith on Calvary. He came out as the Lord of all. Hear me, people of God. This faith I'm talking about is the faith that the King of Kings himself delivered to us. Are we ready to defend the faith that was once delivered to us? If people can defend the faith the way people defend their ideology, hear me, the faith will be a better thing today. If people can defend the faith the way people defended men like Martin Luther King Jr. defended human rights, the faith will be a better thing. The man was irreverent. But what he defended was not the faith. Are you with me? Don't look at me like that. I'm not a politician, so I don't need your votes. What he defended was not the faith. He defended what? Human rights. And he defended it real good. I am not moved by the title people call people. Farrakhan calls himself Reverend Farrakhan. So it doesn't really matter whether somebody is a reverend, somebody is unreverend, somebody is a pastor, somebody is an assistant pastor, somebody is a brother, somebody is an assistant brother. It doesn't matter. What matters is this. There is a faith that was delivered to us. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto you.
I hope this message has been a blessing to you. For prayer requests, praise reports, free video messages, and other ministry resources, please visit www.christlife.tv or call our office at 718-493-7200. Remember, he that walked with the wise shall be wise, and the companion of fools shall be destroyed.